Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It's August 7th, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl, thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. It's time for your TNA Impact post show. Yes, I'm solo tonight. It's just me. Just me. Yes, indeed. Because Cresta is taking a week off. That's okay. Programming notes for everybody. Next week, I'm traveling, so there won't be a show. There might be. There might be a show if someone decides that they want to take my spot for the night. So it's a possibility that there's a show, but there will not be an emergence post show because, well, I'm going to be attending a show in Ottawa, Canada. That's very important to me. It's C4. They put on a Fighting Back. It is a cancer research benefit wrestling show that happens every year. This year, I'm very happy to be attending in person and covering the event, not just for Fightful, but also just as someone who has had cancer affect my family and my life. So I wanted to be there and support and be with that crew for that particular show. So there won't be a TNA Emergence post show from us, but Cresta and I will probably watch the show, talk about it a little bit on the impact that precedes Emergence. So we'll see how that goes. But for now, folks, if you haven't already, you can go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the video, subscribe to our channel here at Fightful. We're over 200,000 subscribers strong. How nuts is that? I remember when we were celebrating 100,000. Look at this. Look at this now. Huh? If I had some hot sauce to put on a chicken wing, I'd look at y'all and say, never would have thought it'd be us. But here we are, 200,000 strong. Keep going, friends. Go ahead, subscribe to the channel. And you can also donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. You can go to humperchats.com. Same situation. You give a little bit more, we get a little bit more. That's how it works. We appreciate everyone who jumps in, gets in the comments, whether you do it for free or whether you do it with your money. We always appreciate y'all. They're doing it again is TNA. They got access running the show at 9 o'clock. That's because at one point, Carlos Silva just flat out said in an interview, Access doesn't really want wrestling. He didn't say it exactly like that, but they certainly made it feel that way. So as a result, they want you back on TNA Plus. They're not showing the shows on YouTube. Instead, they're going to put you, if you have access and you want to watch it there, you'll watch Impact then at 9 o'clock. Instead, you can get it on Rogers Sportsnet in Canada if you use nordvpn.com/Fightful. There's your plug. I did it. Are you happy? I did it. All right, let's talk about this show. We're a few days away from Emergence. Next week is the show on the Friday. This show had a good amount of stuff going on with it. I thought this wasn't a bad episode of Impact. It started off with me thinking, oh boy, it's going to be a while until we get to the first match. Instead, they did a pretty good job of pacing it here and there. I thought it felt weird to me. I don't know if it felt weird to y'all in the chat or anyone listening. I don't know if it was a strange kind of ebb and flow with the show. It felt like maybe more matches were loaded to the back end. It felt like maybe all the promo time was set for the opening. It felt a little off kilter for me. It could also just be because I was a little stop and start at first because I was handling some stuff at home while I was in between, stopping and starting the stream so that I could go ahead and keep watching the show. Nevertheless, we open up with Trick Williams, TNA champion, coming out. We're going to do Moose versus Trick and Emergence. We know that that's official. Moose is from the Baltimore area, so not only do they shout that out, but it makes perfect sense to be doing this title match at Emergence. Again, I go back to, you could have just put the title on Santana at Slammiversary, had the moment, and had Santana go up against literally anyone. He could have done a Trick rematch at this particular show. Regardless, we got to put more heat on Trick, even though there's barely any heat on Trick. I'm trying to make the best out of the situation that we've been handed. Moose, sure, we're going to get the hometown heat. Trick's going to beat Moose, and Trick's like, I'm going to beat Moose in front of his mama, and I'm going to smash his family's heads like they're bobbleheads on Groundhog's Day, which is makes no sense. You don't smash bobbleheads on Groundhog's Day. You don't smash heads on Groundhog's Day. You got Whack-A-Mole. Maybe that's what he's thinking of. Whack-A-Mole. Remember that game, the party game that you go ahead and did, and you hit the tops of the Whack-A-Mole heads? Bobbleheads, big heads, right? They move around. So I think he just got confused in whatever he was trying to say in his promo. Either way, Moose comes out. He's got his back. His babyface theme is back. He got that back at Slammiversary. He's been keeping that up. It's great. Good for him. I like that Slammiversary, the original Moose theme. Trick avoids the spear. Moose stands tall in the ring. Moose took a powder. There it is. That's an opening segment. Listen, it's, again, I can't tell you that Emergence is looking, we're going to talk more about the card as the night goes on, because Santino decided to basically announce 9/10 of the card in the middle of the show. That's basically how this particular show feels. Gia Miller's back. She returns a couple weeks after getting beat down by Tessa Blanchard. She relieves Gabby Laspiza from her post, says that Slammiversary rattled her, but she's feeling better. She calls out Tessa Blanchard and says when she comes back, if Tessa lays a hand on her again, she will effing kill her. I appreciate the passion. I appreciate when someone looks at the camera dead center and has something to say that's important and that's passionate and that makes you believe that they can do the things they say they can do. I believed that Gia is upset. I believed that Gia would get her pound of flesh. Gia has been training. She's also got great sparring partners to work with. Go check out her work at Wrestling Revolver. She's been in the ring. She knows what she's doing. She has been training. All indications are Tessa versus Gia Miller at Bound for Glory. And if you do that, I mean, I assume you got to have Gia win, right? But then Tessa's lost 3 pay-per-view matches in a row. That's an interesting change up, considering how they brought in Tessa Blanchard to begin with and what people expected out of her. So here's the problem that I was getting to with Gia Miller saying she's going to effing kill somebody. I don't like the idea of saying I'm going to kill you in wrestling, because wrestling is about trying to do something to somebody that you can do. You want to be able to maim her. You can tell her I'm going to make your life hell. You can tell her I'm going to make you bleed. I'm going to, you can't say rip your arm off, but you got to do something that's a little more believable, because you're not going to commit murder in wrestling. Because you got to take the people to a place of suspending disbelief, but also still believing that the person can actually be taken out. I don't like the idea of anybody in wrestling saying I'm going to kill you, and I don't like it when any wrestler says this. Isn't a oh my god, he doesn't like, you know, this isn't a, oh my god, he's so woke, he doesn't like people talking about death in wrestling. No. This is about storytelling, and the story can't be that someone's going to die. I mean, it's TNA. Someone could easily die. That is something that they do, because when they write you off, they do. I just don't like the idea of someone saying, I'm going to kill you, as like the way to get your point across. Say, I'm going to maim you. Say, I'm going to beat you so bad, you're going to wish you never touched me. Do whatever. Just talking with like the killing trope. I don't like it. Never do. Call me crazy. Call me crazy. Call me whatever you want. Don't call me late for dinner, mostly because I'm the one usually cooking dinner. So that's just what happens here. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Friend, let's talk. Let's talk about it. Then we welcome back Joe Hendry, who's happy to see Gia back. And he does his I Believe in Joe Hendry promo. He's going to face Mustafa Ali in the main event, which, by the way, spoiler alert, thought it was really, really well done. I thought it was a really strong main event. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Steve Macklin visits a soccer team in Rhode Island. I didn't get the name of the team. I saw this promo and I saw in the video, he goes and visits this Rhode Island soccer team, and he's holding the championship that the soccer team won, and he's wearing white gloves with them while he's handling the trophy. I really, really, really wish, and this works better if Steve Macklin is a bad guy, if he's a heel, I wish he would have made the players hold the title while wearing the same white gloves. How much funnier would it have been if Macklin was like, if I got to hold yours like this, you got to hold mine the same way, and make the players put on the stupid white gloves one at a time so that they can hold that belt. It's a beautiful looking belt too, that international championship. Probably one of my favorites right now. I wish they had done that. It would have been very silly. But he's a good guy, so he can't do that. But I wish he had. Santana's backstage with Sami Callihan. Santana accepts the emergence challenge that Sami Callihan made. I said this on In the Weeds, which is our morning show over on Fightful Overbooked. By the way, shout out Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Myself, Jeremy Lambert, some days SP3. We all talk about wrestling and other things. That's our morning show over on Overbooked. So go do that. I mentioned that I'm not a big, big, big fan of doing these retirement match teases. We just did it with Cody Deaner, right? And what did that get us? That got us Hometown Man. Y'all know how I feel about Hometown Man, and that's something else that we're just stuck with in TNA world right now. So now we're going to get Santana and Sami Callihan, and Sami Callihan's teasing the idea that if he doesn't win or put on a good enough showing, this could be it. And Santana saying, like, I'll take a step back from going after the TNA championship so that I can give you this match that, you know, might make you retire. It's like, why are you, like, for what? Because you want to respect Sami Callihan? I get it. Sami's been around a long time in TNA. He is respected. He is a veteran. But it feels weird that it's like we're doing the Santana route when Sami's like, I might retire after this if I don't win. What does it mean if Callihan wins? Santana looks dumb. And then what? Sami Callihan gets to keep his job? This isn't even about him not having a contract renewal. It's not much of a story to me when we just did one with Deaner. And the Deaner one made more sense. It felt like all the pushback on Deaner, or like the nice things that people had to say about Deaner, actually, not the bad things. It was more the idea that like Deaner was at a crossroads in his career. He's got a backstage role, much like Sami Callihan. People were praising that Deaner was like, oh, this could be it. Like, let's hang it up and give the new guys a chance, blah, blah, blah. And then we got Hometown Man. So there's that. But then it feels like someone said, well, we did it with Deaner and it went pretty well. So let's do it with Sami Callihan. Let's try that. So we're doing it. And Santana, for some reason, is going to have the Callihan match. And then they're probably just going to do what? Northern Armory and Sami Callihan and Santana at the next show. We're on it or on on an episode of Impact. So Northern Armory walk in, all three of them. And EY says, you know, Santana, you're a failed TNA hero and you failed your TNA family. And then you failed your real family. That's the pinnacle of that whole exchange. And get Santana's gall because you know, you insult his family, you insult him. And EY was talking about, you know, running TNA when Santana was in high school. And it's like, yeah, EY's been around. Eric Young's been in TNA since the inception. Took a few years off here and there. But, you know, Eric Young is an institution in TNA. I would respect the hell out of that. I'm curious what we're doing. Again, this all comes down to everything is about Callihan without being about Sami Callihan. We're going to get to EY and Santana. That's fine. I'm a big fan of doing that match. It's just Sami Callihan is somewhere in the middle of this. Maybe Santana, I don't know, beats Callihan, and can Callihan and Hometown Man can have a match. The winner gets to keep their job. Who knows? It's strange. International championship time. Steve Macklin, Jake something. This one goes to a double countout. They're both fighting so hard and so fast. And so much on the outside of the ring that the referee is like, oh, count it to 10. We got to throw it out. Kazarian's on commentary and he's got papers signed by Carlos Silva that allow him to be there. why is Carlos Silva allowing Frankie Kazarian to be at ringside after he basically aligned himself with Trick Williams and helped Trick retain the title at Slammiversary? Commentary 2 weeks ago had Kazarian removed, maybe it was 1 week ago, regardless, most recently had him removed. And then what? Carlos Silva and Frankie Kazarian had a little back and forth on Twitter about come to my office. And that's okay, sure. But also, why is Carlos Silva allowing this to continue where Frankie Kazarian can go out and be on commentary when maybe you should be giving Frankie Kazarian a match where Frankie Kazarian could be trying to, I don't know, get himself into a title picture, whether that's the TNA World Championship or if it's the International Championship, because that seems like where he's setting his eyes for now. So why is Carlos Silva allowing the guy who is so pro TNA while still helping the NXT guy, that Carlos Silva is supposed to be angry that the NXT guy is the champion, but he also can't help but smile when he hands him the championship at the pay-per-view? Again, it felt very strange. It just wasn't, it wasn't well thought out. And like, I see chat saying like, Frankie won't shut up and it's likely a suitable option. Like, yeah, that's a cute way of putting it, but like, commentary wasn't going there. Nobody was explaining it that way. Kazarian is, he's a self-aggrandizing prick. We get that. He's full of himself, but there's no reason for him to be out there and to say that the boss said it's okay, because the boss should be extra pissed off at Kazarian. The boss should be putting him in unsavory positions of wrestling. He should have to wrestle Moose or wrestle, I don't know, Edward Edwards. I don't care. Kazarian should be going after the baby faces or facing the baby faces and maybe getting beat. Work his way up the ladder if you were. Regardless, two tours of Afghanistan while you were doing tours of Delaware was a great line from Tom Hannafin. Shout out to Hannafin and Ray Walt. Sports Illustrated did. Our pal John Alba announced that those guys got extensions. They deserve it. Probably one of the best commentary teams out there. Tom Hannafin and Matthew Raywalt. They're so good together. They're so smooth. I'm glad that they're sticking around TNA and they got that extension. They deserve it. Meanwhile, Macklin and Jake Something, they beat each other up. They go to a countout. Security breaks them up. You can tell the fight story over and over again, and that's not too bad. It's not too bad. This, after this one, though, no more of this. You did it with Mance Warner, with Something and Macklin. Let's chill out on the let them fight story. We can let them relax on this one. Speaking of letting them relax, Steph DeLander and Mance Warner. I'm gonna take a drink just for a sec so you can catch your breath on this one. For those asking, Cresta did not quit. She had another thing going on tonight. So I'm here. It's just me, baby. It's just me, Us. Solo Jolo, I guess. That sounds wrong because people might think I said something else that's not the word. Anyway, Steph DeLander, they're going to go meet with Santino Marella. But Santino's not there. But they were supposed to be. That was a scheduled time. So they opened the door. Santino's not there. So they're like, oh, okay, let's go have sex in here. That's the insinuation, because later on Santino and Ariana Grace walk in and they catch them fucking. Santino sends grown woman Ariana Grace, his daughter, away. But then he checks on them again. He like opens the door, and I get it, y'all, like, he probably thinks, oh my god, it's so funny, I'm gonna let me look again. It's like, but why are you checking on this? You know they're in there. Why do you want to watch something that you're not to, like, so Santino, so now in canon Santino is a pervert who likes to watch. People are saying it's funny. Sure, I mean, listen, for some it's funny, for me it's just like, why? Why does he need to look inside? Like, Santino loves to do this physical comedy. He likes to do the make up the new, but it's all in service of getting himself over. This isn't about rubbernecking. I'm not going to go back and watch two people out. Like, okay, story time. You guys want some stories? Here we go. I was an RA. An RA was like a res don, okay, in university, in my third year of university. Now, at the end of the semester, we had to go with a partner, with a someone like we want, not like a romantic partner, go with somebody that we worked with, two by two, checking the floors for people who had to leave by a specific time. The end of the year, the exams were done, the year was over. So now we are, you know, you have to be out within like 48 hours of your final exam. So I had to go with my teammate to open some doors, make sure people were gone, and just do room checks, make sure that they are gone when they're supposed to. So I'm up on the 11th floor, and I go knock, 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 and I don't hear anything. And then I go knock, knock, knock. I'm coming in. My name is Joel, and I'm an RA, blah, blah, blah. I'm making sure, da, da, da. And I open the door, and there are two people going at it right in front of me. I won't tell you the position that they're in because I don't need to, but they were facing me. Eyes looked up, and I backed out, said, I'll come back. Do you think I opened the door again? No, I didn't. I felt bad for them. But I don't need to see this in any comedic fashion in TNA. It's sophomoric. I'm not going to hold this to a comedy aspect, but it just felt weird. And again, it was all in service of Santino getting himself over as this trickster. And he does it all the time with the names too. We'll talk about that in a minute, because he did the names thing again. And I thought that maybe they were more confused in the audience at who he was talking about, because he kept using the wrong names because he thinks that this is what you do. Gets himself a North American Championship match in TNA or in NXT. And that did nothing. That was in service. Nothing happened out of that. He lost. Maybe it's time for Santino to be moved aside, because this was not it. This wasn't it. Listen, if you thought it was funny, that's great, cool. But for me, it's like, what was the point of this? Other than sophomore humor, and Santino gets over, and he was supposed to be, you want to talk canon, you want to talk story. He was supposed to be there. He was late for whatever meeting was supposed to happen. Because again, Steph said he was supposed to see me. You know, we're supposed to be here. And they go in, and I get it, they're degenerates, so they go and they have sex in his office, but it just doesn't make sense. It does, and that's all I want in my wrestling. I just want it to make sense and not be strangely sophomoric. Who's not sophomoric? Cedric Alexander. He talks about having a MySpace page, which I love, because I had one too. Remember your top eight? Everyone was vying for your top eight. Remember when you could add music to that thing? Oh, everyone was adding your best emo songs. You could do it. You could do it. He calls the X Division Championship. It was his birthright, and he would write about that on his MySpace page. You think Leon Slater knows about MySpace? Think Leon Slater was ever in the know about MySpace? I'd love Leon Slater to be watching TV in the next room, see that promo, just be like, MySpace? What the hell's a MySpace? And then that's the end of the segment. Oh, yes, I'm that old.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Good promo, though. Really like Cedric Alexander. I like that those two guys are going to go one-on-one at Emergence. I think that's going to be one of, if not the match of the night. Leon Slater, Cedric Alexander, they're going to be on fire. That's a match everyone needs to see. I'll be going out of my way for that. Zaya Brookside and Layne Lee defeat M and Heather by elegance. Hey, do you think they paired Zaya Brookside and Layne Lee because Layne Lee was Zaya Lee in WWE? You think that's what happened? So they just decided, hey, Zaya and Zaya, if you know, you know. I don't know. Solid match, babyface in peril throughout the entirety. Layne Lee's getting beat down, and then she gets the hot tag to Zaya Brookside. I love M using her tight to her advantage. When she jumps, she floats. And it's kind of cool to see. The way that she moves is she's very, again, she's taller than most women, definitely taller than everyone in that match. And when you see her move, it's like she's floating. And I thought she's solid. So big fan of that. And I made a note for myself about freebirding the Knockouts tag titles. And it turns out we will be doing that. We'll talk about that when we get to the emergence matches that were made. But no, overall, I like that Laying Lee and Xia Brookside are being added to the Knockouts tag division. It's something that's sorely needed. Don't know what's going on with Harley Hudson and Mila Grace. It looks like they were there, but maybe they want to pull back, or maybe they want to give them a few more reps, or maybe they're not in the States for these tapings. I don't know. Regardless, they should be around. But I like that they're at least adding Knockouts to the tag division, who need to be there to round out a tag division that's in need of some new blood. And these two work for now. Lee hits Thunderstruck. This is Laying Lee and a spinning face buster. That's the win. And then backstage later on, it's Ash by Elegance. She's going for the Knockouts tag title later, or the Knockouts title later tonight. And she's upset. She berates Em and Heather and then kicks them out of the locker room. And that includes George Iceman, the personal concierge, who was also on NXT this week. The updates to some of the injuries. Casey Navarro's dislocated knee. That's going to come up in the next segment. And Hometown Man has bruised ribs. Great. You just write them off. Just get them off there forever. That's just one man's opinion. The emergency first class penthouse. When I heard about this, my heart sank for Casey Navarro. People know how much I love that dude as a performer. As just a showman, I thought he's been such a breath of fresh air for first class. And it sucks so bad. He had to tell everyone he tore his ACL at Slammiversary. He needs surgery. This is a guy who stepped up when Rich Swann was put out because of what happened with him. He had, I don't want to speak out of school. He had something that had happened, and I'm going to completely botch it if I say it wrong, but he's been on the Rich Swann's doing better. That's what's most important. But when Swann was having an issue and he was off TV, they gave Casey the opportunity, and they made that into a story, which I appreciate. AJ Francis did a great job of telling the story of how Casey came in and why he deserved what he got and why he doesn't deserve any more, despite, you know, he doesn't get the big send off. It's not happy. AJ says in the NFL, when something like this happens, we got a saying. It's called next man up. He doesn't care about Casey Navarro. He never does. So he brings back out Rich Swann. And he's been talking about his sobriety openly, by the way. We have an article up on Fightful about this. By the way, go to the new Fightful.com. Tons of articles. Most free stuff in wrestling comes through Fightful.com. Go check that out. When you get a shot, redid the website. We have the hardest working news team in the business, bar none. If you think you're working hard, this team works exponentially hard. So there was an article about Rich Swann, and he discusses sobriety openly and how he's been working to better himself and also just get back in the good graces of those that he may have wronged. I saw him back in April at WrestleMania weekend. He worked a tag match with Willie Mack. I think it was at the Dragon Gate show, and he looked great. He really did. He looked happy. He looked excited to be there. He looked good. So I'm happy to see him back in TNA. Hopefully this is something that sustains him and that's for a longer period of time and that he stays true to what he needs to do to stay sober. That would be great. Basically out of this, Casey becomes a mic stand and then he gets fired. Casey mentions all the times he did AJ Francis's bidding. I thought that was so good. Talks about all the time, all the bullets he took for him, all the work he did for him. He went all in for first class. He did everything in service of AJ Francis. And then AJ's just like, you were dead weight that I carried around. I was a champion in TNA before you showed up. Rich Swann had a tag title match. And then because he couldn't do it, we brought you in. And I was like, that's perfect. The story really does become cyclical in that regard. So I really like the way that they're telling the story. And I think Casey Navarro's babyface run will be so special when he's back and ready to go. If AJ's, you know, if everything aligns and AJ's in the spot and they got it, I think Casey's got a really, really good shot at having a very strong, very strong babyface run in TNA. And he deserves that too, because he is just, he's a ridiculous talent, not just in the ring, but you heard him tonight. He, when he's passionate, when he cuts a promo, he's good in interview settings. And I've had a chance to talk to him a few times in interviews. He is so good. And I really hope for the best. And I hope the recovery is swift. And I hope he's going to be in a great space mentally as he works to come back, because he deserves that. He's a very special talent. And I like that they gave him the moment and they gave him a story, and now he has something to work back to. And AO in the chat saying Santana speaks highly of him. I'm going to let you in a little secret. Everybody speaks highly of Casey. His work ethic is very well established and very well known and very well respected. He's a good dude. He works hard. So wishing him a speedy recovery. This was a really well done segment. And I thought, again, feel how you will about Rich Swann. He has taken the steps to discuss and talk and be open about his sobriety and everything that happened to him that got him away from TNA. I'm willing to allow for personally in my enjoyment and my coverage of TNA. It doesn't bother me, because I'm seeing that the work has been done, and I hope that it continues to be well done for Mr. Swann. And I hope Casey comes back quickly, and I hope that the babyface run is as good as I'm talking about it, because otherwise I'll be real mad. Oh, I'm not mad about Mara Sade. She comes in, she beats Vicious Vicky. This is a good match. This is solid. It's just a little squash match. Her finish is called the Finish Her Double Underhook Facebuster. It's fine. It's good. I think she used it in NXT as well. But Mara Sade is someone in our Fightful Select Discord mentioned, what if she got released and that she's just going to get basically a finishing class through TNA and then find her way back to WWE? If that's what she wants to do, I see no reason why you wouldn't. But the first thing Mara Sade did when she left NXT and when she jumped into the indies and got past her 30 days was she did the indies and she immediately opened a fan site. Immediately. And a lot of these people are, and they are more within their right to do it than ever, because they will make extremely good money from it. You can tell that Mara Sade, while she loves wrestling, she loves making money like most people do. And whether or not she returns to WWE, we saw with Jordynne Grace, there's a pay cut involved if you're doing well with that fan site. We'll see if she wants that. There's good money in those fan sites if you know how to do them right. And there are a lot of people out there who do them right. But if you go to a place like WWE, you can't necessarily have those sites anymore. So we'll see what she wants to do. Is it about wrestling or is it about the other sides of it? Is it a pay cut? You don't know. You got to leverage it. Regardless, she's having a great start in TNA. They put some wheels behind her. Good for her. Good for her to see her out here working. She should be. Knockouts World title match. There's not much to say here. JC Jane takes on Ash by Elegance. The funniest parts about this. George Iceman, the personal concierge, takes the mic from Mackenzie Mitchell and says, I'll take it from here. And says, you should be on the streets with that outfit. She's wearing a pantsuit. She's wearing a damn pantsuit with a chain. And then Mac just turns around and says, what does that even mean? Like, she's mouthing the words. What does that even mean? Shout out to Mackenzie Mitchell. She announced that her new book, Threads of Triumph, Professional Wrestling's Most Iconic Looks, will feature a foreword from Mercedes Moné. I think people forgot that Mac actually announced that she was writing this book or putting this book together back in January. But because of the foreword announcement that Mercedes is doing, that kind of brought this back into the forefront. So congratulations to Mac. Writing a book is a hell of a thing to do. It's a hard, hard thing to do. But Mac's going to be doing it. It's all about, like it says, most iconic looks in wrestling. It's very fashion-based, which is something that Mac is very passionate about. And I can't wait to see it. Once upon a time, over on our Fightful Overbook channel, myself and our pal Cher Delaware, we would do a show called Strong Style, where we talk about the looks and the gear in WWE for both the men and the women. and we would put over, it's not just WWE and all of wrestling for that matter, we put over the men and women who have some of the most amazing gear and entrances in wrestling. And so this is kind of one of those books. So good for her. This is a really cool avenue to take, and not many people write about the gear that these people are wearing over the years. So I'm looking forward to seeing this book. Back to the match. Really, all they need to know is that Masha knocks out Ash for what she did to her last week. JC goes after Masha. Fatal Influence get involved. Xia Brookside and Lang Lee get involved. The Inspiration join in. You know who's not there? The Elegance is. They are nowhere to be found. Well, that comes into play a little later. We'll get to it, along with my free-burning conversation. The Hardys are backstage. They've got their fourth rope tag titles as well, and the TNA tag titles. The Hardys say Santino's announcement is their first tag title match at Emergence. Then they talk about defending history, building something bigger than TNA. It's a tag team history that'll be immortalized. And again, they were at SummerSlam along with the Dudleys, and they're putting over this match that they're going to do at Bound for Glory. And I can't. I'm curious, but I'm not happily curious. Remember the conversation we had about rubbernecking earlier and car crashes? This isn't one that I care about. This is a match that I don't necessarily need to see Team 3D and the Hardys at Bound for Glory. A big nostalgia push isn't really what gets me invested in wrestling. I get it. Some people are into it. For me, it's not. I just hope that the Hardys have a bunch of really fantastic matches going into it, because if they're going to be the tag champions going into this, sure. Chat saying, you know, the hope is that they're not defending the tag titles in October at Bound for Glory. I agree. I do agree. I hope anybody, I mean, maybe you bring back the Nemeths and they win it in time. The Nemeths seem to be the team that take the titles from the Hardys when the Hardys have something else to do. Give them, you know what, because they talked about a tag team history that is immortalized, maybe you make some TNA tag team immortal title that hangs above the ring for whatever this tag team title match is, or whatever this match is between the Hardys and the Dudleys, the Team 3D. Maybe that's what it is, an immortals tag team title that only gets used once and is just for this match, and then we never talk about it again. But meanwhile, the actual tag team championships, you put them back on the Hardys. I'm sorry, you put them back on the Nemeths, not the Hardys. The Nemeths seem to be the ones that take it from the Hardys. You could just do that. It's strange. They got rid of them before they went to Canada because Jeff couldn't cross the border. This time it could just be they're going to take them off because they don't want to put the tag titles on the line for the match against Team 3D at their biggest show of the year. Do it with literally anybody. But regardless, they've got a tag team match at Emergence. And out comes Santino Marella afterwards, and he talks about those matches. So, first of all, he announced the International Championship match. Macklin and something in a no DQ, no countout match. Very much looking forward to that. If you want a match where someone bleeds, that's the one. Macklin is going to take the International Championship, and the only thing international about it is how he gets from this side of his forehead to this side of his forehead with the blade that makes him bleed. Because God knows we want him to be defending this title all over the world. But he's not. I mean, not publicly. Some in DC is. But it's not like he's not showing up in AAA where he could. He could. Part of a WWE ecosystem. You could do it. He's not showing up in WWE. He's not showing up on NXT. He's not showing up, you know, RevPro. And the RevPro kind of works with AEW. But regardless, you know what I'm trying to say. It's an international championship. Let the international part shine. But no DQ, no countout. I'm all about it. Santana takes on Sami Callihan. We've talked about it. This is what I was going to talk about with Santino. He comes out and he announces these matches, and he's using the cutesy, you know, bad names, the fake names that he gives to all these people. And he calls Sami Callihan Sami Calhoun, and people, there's just no reaction. And I don't know if that's because the crowd's confused or they just don't care. And that's kind of the problem with the Santino. Everybody gets a funny nickname. Calhoun. And it's like, all right, sure. The Knockouts Championship tag title, the Knockouts tag title match is Fatal Influence, The Inspiration, Xia Li and, Liying Li and Xia Brookside. I'm telling you, they did it to mess with people who have to say both names. They're going to take on them and the Elegance is, but it's going to be M by Elegance and Heather by Elegance, because you can probably expect a triple threat for the Knockouts Championship at Emergence. can assume, given the fact that Masha, Ash, and JC have all been in each other's business, that you can do a triple threat at the show. They'll probably announce it next week. Or they've already announced it on socials. I don't know. But regardless, they are not featured forefront of the banner when they announce the show. Instead, you've got M and Heather in the forefront. And if the match is for the Knockouts tag titles, then it looks like we're going to freebird the Knockouts tag titles, which I don't mind. I'm fine with it. We've been talking about it for weeks. It felt inevitable. And you can eventually have the elegance break off from Ash, or just have some sort of dissension with the team when somebody screws up and loses the tag titles like they might at Emergence, because feels like every other match, this is, again, remember, TNA does this. Every single special, every single time, one title changes hands. This is the one that's most likely. And you got a four-way, so you can probably figure out that someone's going to take those titles from the Elegance, and it's going to piss off Ash by Elegance. So there's that. Then Santino calls out the Nemeths, says the Nemeths are not facing the Hardys. They do not get their contractual rematch clause. Go, do not pass go, do not collect $200. They're suspended. Specifically, Nick Nemeth. Nick Nemeth is upset. He says, it's contractually obligated. I deserve it. This is my title. This is my time. Give me my tag team title match. And Santino's like, no, but you know what? Ryan Nemeth is just like, oh, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue everyone, because that's the joke. Ryan Nemeth sues people. But my big brother and Ryan Nemeth sues people. They're doing Ryan Nemeth versus Hometown Man. Sure, why not? I hope Ryan Nemeth wins a match. That's all I'm caring about in this case. I hope Ryan Nemeth wins, and that's it. They announced the Joe Hendry, Charlie Dempsey match on Tuesday. Sure, that's a match that's happening. All right. They're also doing Dark State versus everyone who's going after an NXT or TNA World Championship. The world title match for the tag title match is going to be Hardys and Rascals at Emergence. And then they got Moose and Trick for the TNA world title, Leon Slater and Cedric Alexander for the X Division Championship. Sure. Okay. Main event time. So when I read the results for this match, I knew Ali was winning. What I was also told was that the match was very good, and that the match was very much a Mustafa Ali special. It's not a knock on Joe Hendry, and I know people know how I feel about Joe from time to time, but this really did feel like a Mustafa Ali type of put together match. Someone says in the chat, it's a pay-per-view main event. It was a very solid PLE type of match. It was good. It's all Hendry starting for the match, making this match was mostly Hendry. It was mostly babyface fire, which like is a weird layout, but Ali's so good at selling that it just doesn't matter. You can make Ali look like this chicken bleep heel, and it's good stuff. Hendry turns a tornado DDT attempt into a lifting suplex, which was really good. He's all over Ali throughout the entirety of the match. Anything that Ali does, Hendry can overpower him. That's one thing about Hendry, is that he's very strong and he's very good at lifting heavy things and creating movement out of that. And I think that's to his advantage, especially because he's deceptively big. Hendry hits the standing ovation. Tasha Steelz pulls out the referee, knocks her out. Great Hands hit the favor on Hendry. They set up Ali for the 450. Hendry fights it off, and then he takes out the Great Hands. He hits the AA. Does Joe Hendry on Mustafa Ali. Oh, buddy, keep manifesting that John Cena match. I don't think Joe Hendry's getting the John Cena match. If they do, he's going to throw it out on a random episode, and here we are. I don't expect it. But I know Joe Hendry wants it, so he does the AA, loves John Cena. New referee comes out, Frank Gastineau, and he counts the near fall. Tasha Steelz grabs Hendry, distracts the referee. Big Bill Collier, who's now known as Agent Zero, hits a big, big boot on Joe Hendry, tosses him back in the ring, and a 450 from Ali gets the win in a match that was solid. It was a very, very good match. I wouldn't call it pay-per-view main event, but PLE for sure. One of the plus events. Thought it was very good. Thought it was better than it had any than it should have been. It did better than it had any business being. But on a show that otherwise was full of, you know, no contest. You had two title matches, and both of them were non-contest. just so we can get to the paper, to the PLE, to the special. I'm still a big fan of having Ali win that title eventually. I think him and Santana is going to be a moneymaker. Thought it could have been a moneymaker when Santana would have won the world title at Slammiversary, but here we are. It's not what we're getting. I'm a big fan of this Agent Zero character, mostly because I've had many positive experiences with Big Bill Collier up here in the Northeast. He's a good dude, very hardworking. Hopefully he gets to shine without just wearing a suit and sunglasses. But again, Hendry's in this weird position where he's 1 foot out the door going into NXT. I made the joke on, well, it's not really a joke, it kind of felt this way, on Tuesday when he came out of a fridge. I said, that's incredibly apt because that gimmick has been very cold. I get that the fans love him, but it's not like Joe Hendry has been lighting the world ablaze like he was even a year ago. So it's fine. Someone saying all that positive manifestation, they always flip it on you. I never thought that Hendry was going to get John Cena. If John Cena said he had 2 years left, I would have said they can make it happen. But since they said 1 year and then they did the heel turn, it was just like, they're not going to bring Joe Hendry in for this. They're not going to do a Joe Hendry in John Cena match. And they're sure shit not going to do it on TNA show. So it's just what it is. There was another question about standing off to the side, the very far right of the stage and not the center. That, so I noticed this too. And this was Scott mentioning this. This is something that was kind of like a 80s wrestling trope, off to the side type of thing for camera angling. I don't know why Santino did it. It could have been because they wanted maybe one side of the stage had the match graphics and the other side didn't. It could have just been as easy as that. I don't know. Because I don't know what was live and what was showing, but I did clock it and I was just kind of like, okay, that's the way they're going to do it. But again, with Emergence around the corner, it's next Friday. Reminder, no post-show for us. It's looking like it's going to be fine, but it's not looking like, again, coming out of Slammiversary, it feels like they're spinning their wheels to get to Bound for Glory so that they can get to the eventual who takes the Knockouts title back and who, you know, Santana wins the world title. And I'll tell you this much, if you get to Bound for Glory and you don't do the world title switch there, you're doing the Joe Hendry thing again. And you don't grow by pulling the carrot away from your fans. But we'll see. There's still a few months to get there. History has shown us otherwise. History has shown us they are willing to make you go all the way to the wrong side of the fence. But we'll see what happens. I'm going to get out of here. We had ourselves a fun night, didn't we? Leave a thumbs up on the video. Tell your friends all about this. I just watched I've got a camera on my kid and he almost rolled out of his bed. That just, my heart just leapt out of my throat. Just like what happened to Cressa last week. By the way, that was her cat last week flipping out. That's why she was like this at the end of the show. I almost had the same thing. Kid's okay. Anyway, at Joel Pearl, thejoelpearl.com over on Blue Sky. I'm in the weeds 5 days a week over on Fightful Overbooked. Go subscribe. Tomorrow, myself, Jeremy Lambert, we're back at it. Send some comments and some love in the chat, okay? We appreciate you. Talk about TNA with your friends. Tell them how they could be better. You know who I am. We'll see you tomorrow. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, have a good night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check.
The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.